Journey to Wellness in Indian Country is supported in part by the University of Minnesota Medical School Duluth Campus, educating medical students dedicated to serving rural Minnesota and American Indian Alaska Native communities. Today's Journey to Wellness is also supported in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Kelly Hallman is our guest this morning. She's joining us from Oklahoma, if I understand correctly. She is a citizen of the Cherokee Nation, the director of Imagine, the Indigenous Adolescent Girls Empowerment Network, and she is a research specialist at the NIWRC. Kelly, good morning, and thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning, Lisa. Thank you for having me.
There was a webinar that was sponsored just last week by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Council. Is that right?
Resource Center.
And it had to do with programs to build what was called protective assets in Indian Country and building girls' protective assets in particular. Can you talk a little bit about what that means and perhaps why girls are in need of maybe some special support in this area?
Absolutely. I've been working with an international organization called the Population Council since 2001. And what we found in a lot of different countries is that girls really fall through the cracks when it comes to programs and services. There are programs for young children. There are programs for women after they get pregnant and become mothers. But adolescent girls are really not being served well by health and empowerment and education programs, largely educational support. And so we found that there is really needs to be a concerted effort to reach girls between the ages of 10 and 19 with skills and capabilities to prepare them for things they will face as women. And this approach is really, I think, relevant to girls in Indian Country because of the history of different sorts of oppression and exclusion. Girls really face many challenges in Indian Country, and we believe that preparing them with information and skills really do help build their protected human assets to face challenges that may come their way.
The national conversation, of course, is making us aware as we look around at one another as women that women face a variety of challenges as women throughout our lives and in the workplace. The Me Too movement, of course, is drawing attention to that. But it seems that Native girls and women face particular challenges in the sense that their rates for domestic abuse are much higher than in the population at large. What are some of the ways that how do you work with girls, and how do you prepare girls, and how do you give them skills without scaring them? I would imagine that a lot of that information would be terrifying.
I think girls are pretty tuned in to some of the dangers around them, and I don't think a lot of the issues that you mentioned would come as a shock to them because many of them actually observe those different forms of violence in their daily lives. And so really, starting with something like a personal safety plan, what do I do when I get in particular situations? How do I access help? How do I avoid being trafficked? Things like that are really what we're trying to give girls at earlier rather than later.
There have been some interesting conversations that I've read about and some that I guess I've observed my own friends having on social media. Mothers of black sons, where they have to have a conversation with them, a very difficult conversation with them about how here are some of the ways that your life isn't going to be fair and that you need to adapt to this. Do you see kind of a similarity in a sense that you are needing to give the information, obviously, is vital to these girls. But is there a part of you that really resents needing to prepare, you know, these fresh little faces for some of these ugly things?
That's a great question. I wouldn't call it resentment. I guess I would say that programs really do need to grasp the reality of Native girls' lives and understand some of the things they may face. Not that every girl in Indian country will face the same thing, but we really do need to be frank with ourselves in terms of the risks and the opportunities that girls in Indian country have and make programming so it's much more relevant to their daily lives.
I would imagine that even if we as adults have a different perspective on it, that there is a strong reaction to the girls when you start addressing things that are not talked about and when you do begin to engage with them about things that matter to them. Tell us a little bit about how the girls react toward the end of some of these programs when they've had a chance to have difficult conversations, get questions answered, come up with a way to be proactive, maybe about facing some of these scary things that they may deal with. How do you see them change from the beginning of a programming session to the end?
It's really phenomenal to see girls realize what their potential and talents are. And we have found that girls really do blossom in a way and become more confident. They're much more comfortable speaking in front of a group of people. They are also young women who become leaders in their community, and they start to mentor younger girls in their neighborhoods. And so what we have found is that it's, in a way, it's sort of like a cascading leadership, so that girls who've gone through the program become the mentors and really sort of the godmothers or aunties, in a way, to the girls who are coming up, who are younger. And so it really is sort of a virtuous cycle of building, rebuilding, I should say, really the female infrastructure within communities, reweaving that sort of social fabric that has been damaged by lots of different sorts of oppressions and wrongs done to Native communities.
Now, Kelly, you're going to be, or the group is going to be, in the Twin Cities toward the end of October. Is that right?
That's correct, yes. I'm from Oklahoma, but I'm actually based in New York City. But we're doing a series of workshops throughout the country, both virtual and in person. And we're going to be meeting at the Sheraton Midtown in Minneapolis, and are inviting groups who are working locally with Native adolescent girls to learn about some of the tools that we've used and see if they may be relevant and adaptable to their particular neighborhoods and environments.
Well, that is fantastic news, and I bet there are a number of folks in our community who will be interested in attending that conference, if possible. Kelly, thank you so very much for joining us this morning. What a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you, Lisa. I really appreciate it.
Today's Journey to Wellness in Indian Country is made possible by the University of Minnesota Medical School Duluth Campus, an emerging center of rural American Indian and Indigenous health research. Journey to Wellness in Indian Country on KUMD is funded in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.